Okay. So, it's been a few weeks. So somebody before we went on break asked me to touch on issues that related to women's issues. I don't even know who it was. This has been a few weeks. Someone asked me about this. So I'll be honest that usually I, as much as quote-unquote women's issues are part of contemporary halachic discussion and are particularly controversial, I tend to shy away from teaching about them for fear of, I don't know, being killed or whatever. I tend to think that in general it goes over better when women teach these issues than when men teach them. And normally I stick to that. But because I was requested to do it, I took one topic, which, again, I've been thinking about and is not really a women's topic in the normal sense of the word. It is a topic that equally applies to the father of daughters, which is why I've been thinking about it more. And that is the question, which, while it's a small halachic issue, I think touches on a lot of meta points in how to approach certain social changes when addressing psak. And that is the question of what bracha, if any, do you say when you have a daughter? And the reason that this is a modern issue, even though it's not at first glance particularly modern, is because, as we'll see, much of the traditional sources suggest that you only say a bracha, the bracha specifically atov v'ameitiv, that you say on good news, on the birth of a son, and not the birth of a daughter. And therefore, this small little issue becomes a major question when people are asking, well, is that because the Gemara is making a fundamental statement about the difference between men and women? Is it because of a social reality? Or perhaps it was just assumed that the same was true for sons and daughters, and it just didn't say that explicitly in the sources. And therefore, even though it's this small little halachic topic in brachot, it really forces the poskim to grapple with assumptions in the time of the Gemara about men versus women, about the possibility that social changes might lead people to relate to their children differently, and therefore it touches on those issues. But as I said, to the extent that this was a shaila that I had to deal with as the parent of daughters, rather than, right, it's not a topic that, you know, this is a topic that affects me as much as it affects as women, meaning it cuts to the same type of philosophical issues that a lot of quote-unquote women's issues do, but it's one that directly affected me, and therefore I felt I could talk about it more, because I had to figure out, well, what bracha was I going to make when my wife gave birth? Was I going to make any bracha? Was I going to make the same bracha I made when my three older sons were born? Or was I going to make a different bracha, which is what some poskim suggest, which suggests that there's a fundamentally different experience to having boys over girls. And therefore, it cuts to the same type of issues, but it's one where at least I think I can speak to it from where it equally applies to me. And, you know, like I said, when it comes to a lot of women's issues, when I teach it, I just feel like I'm speaking... I feel like I'm running into a danger zone, because many women don't like when men talk to them about women's issues, and I really do get that. So I try to avoid it, if at all possible. If people ask me my opinion, I tell them, but like, you're like laughing. I don't know, but I don't know. I feel like this is true. Look, it's true. Well, look, you know, the problem is that women's issues, what gets in that category I also don't always understand, right? Meaning a lot of times it's regular halachot and the question of whether they are men's halachot or they're more expansive. I don't know. I get very, like, I don't love teaching these hot button issues for that reason. I have sometimes taught them. I've sometimes taught them, co-taught them with my wife. That goes over much better, right? You know, in certain cases, you know, I think at some point we taught women's obligation in tefillah together, which is a bit of an interesting topic to teach together, only because I think that women's obligation is equivalent to that of men, and my wife doesn't, nor does she practice that way. So, like, you know, it comes out as a bit of an interesting issue, but that's a story for another time. But let's talk about this issue, because like I said, it's a small issue, and it's a good issue to see some of the challenges of modern psak and social change in action. So here's how it starts, okay? The Mishnah in the ninth paragraph of Bracha tells us in source one, and the sources are longer than they are, just because for most of them I included English, which I thought you'd appreciate at least having the English on the sources, but obviously that more than doubles the size of the sources. But the Mishnah tells you that there is a bracha that you make when you hear good news. Alag shamim val bisorot tovot omer baruch ato v'emetiv. When you hear good news, or when it rains, you say the bracha v'atov v'emetiv. God who is good and does good. Al bisorot ra'ot, on bad news, omer baruch dayan ha'emet. Right, if you hear bad news, we know this most famously from when someone dies, you say, blessed is the true judge, bana bayit chadash, kana kelim chadashim. If you buy a new house, or you buy new clothes, new vessels, omer baruch she'echayanu v'kiyemanu v'giyanu lazman ha'emet, so you say she'echayanu, mivareich al hara'a me'in al ha'tova, v'al ha'tova me'in al hara'a. So the Gemara tries to figure out, in number two, well, what is the difference? Shechayanu is about for certain types of good things that happen to you. Hatov v'hemetiv is other types of good things. What exactly is the difference between these two brachot? So the Gemara tells you in number two, lo kasha. Hadit le'shutafut, hadilet le'shutafut. A good thing that happens to you that only affects you, so you say shechayanu. But if something good happens and other people participate in it, there's a partnership, it's good for more than one person, so then you say what sounds like Shechayanu 2.0, which is Atov V'emetiv. Ktsaro shel davar ashelo omer baruch Shechayanu v'kiyemanu. So the summary of this is, something which relates only to you, you say Shechayanu al shelo v'al shel chaveiro. It's something that's good for you and good for others. Omer baruch atov v'ametiv. So the Gemara says, is that true? V'chol heicha delet lacharina bahadei lo mivarech atov v'ametiv. Is it true that whenever something's only good for, is it true that you only say atov v'ametiv when it's something which is good for more than one person? V'atanya, but the Braita tells you that amru le'yolda ishto zachar. The Braita tells you that if someone tells you that your wife gave birth to a son, Omer baruch atov v'emetiv, you say the blessing of who is good. Isn't it only your joy? And the Gemara answers what, honestly, you would have thought is obvious, but apparently wasn't obvious to the Gemara. I really don't know how to explain the Havamina here. Hatamnami dika ishto ba'adei denich le'bezachar. No, when you have a child, your wife is also happy. I'm not really sure what the Havamina was, but fine. So the Gemara says, when you have a child, when you have a son, you say atov v'ametiv. Tashma, and then the Gemara gives you the very tragic case of someone. Well, what bracha do you make when someone hears that a parent dies, but he inherited a lot of money with the death? So the Gemara says you actually need to find a way of expressing both the sadness and the joy, the sadness of having lost the parent or brother or sister, whatever, and the joy of inheriting a fortune. So you make both Hatov Ametiv and Dayan Emet. Not in that order, the other order. Dayan Emet on the loss, and then Hatov Ametiv on the good that comes from it. So, if you just stop here. Now, remember the structure that we've talked about. And every time we analyze halacha, we need to analyze the primary sources, precedent, and custom. Okay, so here we're just in the primary. I mentioned this to the Shanabed class, but anyone here politically inclined enough that you've been following the Supreme Court hearings this week? What? Okay, it's really hard to hear through this, but have you been following the argumentation at all? Okay, so if you have been following it all, which I was following more because I like legal theory, I like politics also, but because I like legal theory. But you'll see that this actually played out, because what's her name? Amy Coney Barrett? Barrett? Barrett, yeah. Is an originalist, and therefore she, in halachic language, cares most about primary sources, right? What does the Constitution mean? And she keeps getting pushback from the, especially from the Democrats, saying, well, do you really only care about the Constitution? But what if this has never been challenged? You know, the Supreme Court said this. The Supreme Court said it. But what if you understand the Constitution differently? Don't you care about precedent? And she said, I care about precedent, but I care about the original meaning of the Constitution more. Right? Meaning, I care about precedent, but I care about the original sources more. I care about the Gemara more than I care about what it says in the Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch. Right? But then she said, with one exception, which is what she called super precedent. And super precedent is, it has technically has three names in the legal literature, either super precedent or the very formal sounding, but actually in legal literature, super duper precedent, which it's unbelievable. This, I kid you not, that this is actually in legal literature, super duper precedent. The technical, more technical term is something like, it's like juric stasis, something like that. But whatever, super precedent, where she said, look, normally I'm an originalist, but I think that if something is super precedent, meaning it's not technically the Constitution, but it's a Supreme Court case that has never been challenged, no one bothers challenging it anymore, I'll treat that as binding, even though it's not in the Constitution. So she only gave a few examples, but for example, Marbury versus Madison. That's a pretty old case as things go, but she's like, Marbury versus Madison is super precedent, right? Even though it's not in the Constitution, I'm not challenging Marbury versus Madison. And then, of course, the political fight was, do you treat Roe v. Wade as precedent or super precedent? And she said, I treat it as precedent, not super precedent. The proof is because you're asking me about it. If you're asking me about it, that's because everyone's fighting about it. If people are still fighting about it, that means it's not super precedent, because if it was super precedent, no one would bother arguing about it, right? So that was basically her argument. But I thought it was helpful to understand how the same discussions we have about psak are true in all legal theory, right? To what extent are you an originalist? Do you care about the primary sources? To what extent do you care about what people have said in the past, whether or not that was original intent or what we call precedent, right? And at some level, custom, right? Meaning part of it is that part of the argument back, the pushback from the Democrats was, look, you can't overturn Roe v. Wade because, you know, this is just the way people live. It's part of the way people live, right? Doesn't that have weight? It's not just the fact that it's 50 years since the Supreme Court said it. It's that people have lived with this reality for 50 years, right? So you see the same type of arguments, the same type of logic going into any case. But here, if we just started with the precedent, so what would you say? The simple read of the Gemara, if I asked you, if you have a daughter, will you, your husband, whatever, will you make a, could you, should you, are you not allowed to make the bracha v'atov v'meitiv? What do you think? Just from this line in the Gemara, what would you say? Good. So one possibility, and again, I'm not going to claim that you endorse this or not, as Judge Barrett said several times, I'm not, right, the job of a judge, as she said, is not the job of a legislator. The question is not whether I want this to be the law, the question is whether I think this is the law. Okay, so one way of reading this Gemara is saying, look, it limits it to sons. Why does it limit it to sons? What's the indication? Because it says, not if you had a child, it says, zachar, a male child. So there's good reason to believe that male means male child, means a son. Okay? Now, if you wanted to push back on that, how could you push back on that conclusion? I'll be vague. I want to hear what you have to say. If you wanted to push back on that conclusion and say you can say atov emetiv for a daughter as well, what would you do? How would you push back on this source? Yeah. Good. So one possibility is, look, he just said, what it really means is you have a child. Why did it say Yalda Zachar? I don't know. But whatever, he just said you had a child. give me proof. Why? What would give me not just a possibility, but what? Right? You could say that's possible, but now I agree with you, it's possible. Who wants to argue that that's a more plausible read? Right? So far we have a read of why that's possible. That son here is lav dafka. It means child. Who wants to make an argument that that's not a possible read, but a plausible read? Or a more plausible read? Well, what... Someone want to give me an argument, just from what you've seen so far? Yes, I know you've only seen two sources. And from two sources, why would you say that it's a more plausible read to say it means child and not son? Well, I've already heard a very good argument for why it should mean son, which is it says, Zachar. That's a good argument, right? If I wanted to reverse it and say, no, it's quite plausible that it means child. Why? So one is just say, it's obvious. But give me an even better argument. Why is it obvious? Push it farther. Yeah, exactly. It's because it doesn't say that this is a brach on having children. It's a brach on good news. Right? And therefore, there's good reason to believe that this is just an example. If you have a son, it didn't mean son to the exclusion of daughter. In fact, it didn't even mean having a child to the exclusion of anything else. It's any good thing that happens to you in which someone else partakes of your joy. That is actually the category the Gemara says. Right? So on the level of pure primary sources, the reason to argue it means boy, son, is it says Zachar. The reason to say it's possible that it doesn't is maybe it's lav dafka, maybe it means child. And the reason to say it's maybe even more plausible that it means child and not necessarily son is that it comes in the context of an overarching statement, which is when you have good news, you say atov emetiv, and therefore there's no reason to believe that it is limiting. Okay? If you look at number three, Shulchan Aruch quotes it as Yalda ishto zachar mevarech atov ha-meitiv v'gami tzricha levarech kein. Shulchan Aruch says you have a son, you make atov ha-meitiv, as does your wife, meaning both the father and the mother make atov ha-meitiv. Okay, that's the position of Shulchan Aruch. Skipped for a moment to the Mishnah Berurah, and I know I'm going out of order, but I want you to understand why I think this is a modern issue in this sense. The Mishnah Brura says in number 4, first of all, midesatmu aposkim mashma da filo hayelo kamazar charim v'toyv sheyulod lo bat kidei sheyikein mitzvah puravu afilo achim nolad bein molad bat eim avarach al zeh. The Mishnah Brura takes it as a given that you only make the brach on a son. And not only that, he says, even if, and this is quite novel, he says, even if you have multiple boys, and therefore you haven't fulfilled your mitzvah of puravu yet, of having children, so you need a boy and a girl. So you have not just emotional reasons to want a daughter, but you have halachic reasons to want a daughter. Right? Meaning, when people found out we were having twins, right, the first thing one of my friends said to me is, because I already had three boys, right, was, I hope for your sake that they are girls, especially when they found out they were identical. So it was right that it had to be one way or the other, because he knew, right? Otherwise, right, I'm still obligated in Peru to have, right? He was like, I hope for your sake you have girls. So Mishnah Berura says that even if you already have multiple boys and now you want girls, you dafka want for halachic reasons, not just subjective reasons, you want a balanced family, you have halachic reasons you want daughters, still, what does the Mishnah Berurah say? Since the poskim don't bring it up, you don't make hatov ha-meitiv on daughters. It is exclusively boys, always, always, always. And this is quite a radical claim. It's not just that on the subjective joy of having daughters, he thinks you don't make hatov ha-meitiv, but even if you have halachic reason that you want daughters and not sons, because you already have sons, still he thinks you don't make the bracha. And then he comes up with the chiddush, mikol makom nireli pashut, it seems obvious to me, dibit pam arishom ksharot mevarach berchat shechayanu. But you do say shechayanu, which is, you know, like somewhat joyous. demigara mimi shiroe oto chaver lacher shloshim yom v'sameach. Because the halacha is v'riato that if you haven't seen a friend in 30 days and you see them, you say she'achayanu. How many people have ever done that? I've done that. The Mishnah Berurah nowadays thinks you shouldn't do it. You want my halachic position? The answer is you should do it. And therefore I do, and I have done it many times. B'shem u'malchut. I have no concerns. I will say it with Hashem's name. It's a fascinating sugya for another time, of whether you say Shechayanu on seeing friends when you've already been in contact with them, but you just haven't seen them in person. My personal feeling is that the million lockdowns that we've been on for the last 6 months prove that we all actually enjoy seeing people in person, and therefore the claim that being in contact over Zoom is sufficient to make it that when you see your friends in person, you're not happy and don't have to say Shechayanu has been proven empirically incorrect. And therefore you should say Shechayanu. That's my personal halachic feeling. But he says, since on the books you're supposed to make a bracha when you haven't seen a friend in 30 days, he said, having a daughter presumably is at least as joyous as seeing a friend you haven't seen in a month. So, okay, Shechayanu you can say. Devarach Shechayanu. And he says, why do you only say it on a boy? So he says in the next halacha, Hatov lo denichle begat zachar. Very, very, very straightforwardly. Because you want boys more. That's the Mishnah Berurah's reason. Why do you say Atova Meitiv on sons and not daughters? Because people want sons more. What about mothers? He says, and mothers? Vigam Tovla, Shigam La Nicha Beben Zachar. Yeah, mothers also only want sons. They prefer sons to daughters. Now I see people smiling. Even mothers who have multiple boys. But the Mishnah Berurah is making a psychological statement that my wife, after three boys, preferred to not have any girls and to continue having boys. That is the Mishnah Berurah's claim, right? Claim about the nature of the world. Okay? So now, tell me, methodologically, Mishnah Berurah makes the claim it's only boys, even in a case when you have halachic reason to want girls. And it doesn't matter, father, mother, parents in general like boys more. That's it. It's a fait accompli. Parents like boys. They like sons. Get over it. No matter how many sons they have, they want more sons. That's the Mishnah Berurah's halachic claim. A halachic claim. Okay? So good. Tell me. Now you understand why, even though this is a very small issue, it is a very important issue methodologically and has become a bit of a charged issue in the modern period. Because I'm not sure how, right? The number of smirks I saw when I read it indicate that there may be people in this room who think that even if this was once true, it is no longer true. Though, to be fair, the case of China may indicate that this approach to the world is not completely dead. I assume you all understand the reference to China. No. Yes. No? Really? The one-child policy which led to an imbalance of tens of millions of more men than women in the country and a disastrous situation now where all these men can't get married or take slave child brides from countries surrounding China. It's a humanitarian disaster because of the preference for boys, meaning it definitely exists in parts of the world. I'm not denying that. It definitely exists. Okay, so let's talk methodologically. What should we do? Right? We read the primary source. I gave you an example of one very widely accepted source from the last 100 years, the Mishnah Berurah, who claims that it's only sons because parents, fathers and mothers alike, just don't really want daughters, they only ever want boys. And that's his halachic / sociological claim. So what do we need to do to figure out who's right? What do we even need to figure out? Okay, I throw it out to you. Methodologically, what do we got to do? How do we figure this out? How do we, methodologically speaking, how do we analyze what is correct? So, yes. Very good. So the first thing you got to figure out is, okay, if the primary source is ambiguous, right, I'll flesh it out a little bit. If the primary source is ambiguous, because on the one hand it says Zachar, which you could think means son, On the other hand, it's in the context of good news. So that's good reason to believe it's more expensive. So there's a certain ambiguity in the primary source. It can go in either way. So now I got to ask, okay, how do I gauge the proper originalist interpretation? What did the Gemara mean? So what I need to do is flip the question. It says, okay, if it were only about sons, that would mean that you believe that this bracha that's meant to capture your subjective joy only applies to boys. So now you got to figure out why might, right, in order to make the Mishnah Berurah's claim, you got to justify it. Right? If in fact you only make a bracha about joy with sons, so you've got to explain why. And if you can't come up with a good explanation, so then we would revert to saying, no, the Gemara doesn't mean sons, it means children. Okay, good. So how would I do that? How would I figure out the why? Why are you more joyous? What possibilities are there? What possibilities are there? Say again? Very good. So one is to take a historical claim, which is to say, look, it's not that there's a fundamental difference between sons and daughters. Maybe it's true that it's about good news, and maybe it's true that subjectively speaking, it used to be that people preferred sons, but maybe that has nothing to do, that's not a value statement, it's a reality. If they worked in agriculture, and sons mostly worked the fields, people preferred to have sons. Because not because like they didn't love their daughters or value them, but because they needed help in the fields and whatever. If that's the reason, then what is very important about framing the reason the way, remind me your name? Tilly. What's very important about framing it that way? If Tilly is right, what does that tell? What would that mean? Then this is the type of halacha that, even if in the primary source it meant son for a socially dependent reason, which would mean that you could have it both ways. You could say that the Gemara really only meant son, but nowadays it could change if, in fact, people, right, we live in a different reality and there isn't that preference to son. Okay? Why else? And I will preface this. I'm not asking you to endorse what you're about to say. I'm asking you to sketch out a theoretical possibility of what you might say. Why else might it be the case? Yeah. Okay, so there's other practical reasons, right? We could say it's about work in the field. It could be that marrying off daughters was more expensive because of dowries, right? We could come up with all types of socially constructed reasons, and all of them, right? Any explanation like that would, on the one hand, say that in precedent we can believe, sorry, in the primary source we can believe that the Gemara meant son, but still, it might change because it's socially dependent. Or, and I assume that no one here is going to endorse this position, but unfortunately, there will be people who will endorse this position with full confidence and no qualms at all, not positions I identify with, which will say, no, do you know why it's limited to sons? Yes, right, yes. That there are going to be people who say, no, this is not only is the original source about sons, but it's not even a socially dependent reality. It's just Chazal telling you we like men better than women. Okay? Again, I'm not endorsing this position. I'm not asking you to endorse this position. Right? I'm asking you to tell me theoretical possibilities. So, how would you figure out which of those, if you assume that the Gemara actually originally meant sons. If you think the Gemara never meant sons, it always meant children, so fine. But let's say you thought the Gemara might only mean sons. How would you figure out whether the Gemara meant, as a subjective statement, in the time of the Gemara, people generally preferred sons, just they did? Or this is a statement about Chazal's values. And now you see why this is a modern question, and suddenly, in the last 20, 30 years, everyone's asking it. Because it seems to actually, even though it's a minor little question, it seems to cut to the heart of meta questions that are more in sharp relief in the modern period. Good. So how would you answer this? What would you do? Where would you look? So I have a friend who wrote a 50-page article or so before he had his first daughter on Leidat Bat something, Hashkafat Halacha or something like that. And he said, and I tend to agree with him, that for this, it's probably helpful to look not just in halachic texts, but in agadic texts. To see, well, okay, how do Chazal speak about the relative value of sons versus daughters? Meaning, if you think that Chazal are weighing in and saying sons, you make a bracha on sons and not daughters, so that forces you to ask, okay, is there any reason to believe that Chazal would prefer sons over daughters? So we have to look, right? We have to look. And I gave you many, many sources where we can try to figure this out. We'll see how many we get through. I hope we get through this today. And then next week, do a meta-analysis of the contemporary psak issues. But let's start with the following Gemara in Bava Batra 5. Do you prefer I read the original in the Gemara? On the Gemaras, I gave you translations. Do you prefer that I always read the original and have the translation there? Do you want me to read some in English? Do you care? On some of these, it doesn't really matter. Do you care? What? Prefer what? The original. Okay, good. Fine. So for those of you who want, the translation is below. Okay, so it's there. We'll start with this. So the Gemara says in Tet Zayin Amud Bet, you'll do lahem. When men started having children and daughters, so Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Riviyah Baal Olam. When they started having daughters, well, Riviyah Baal Olam. Right? They're translating the word larov. What does larov mean? So Rabbi Yochanan says it means, well, when they had daughters, that made it that the world increased in size faster because only women can give birth. And therefore, if you have daughters, so now there can be even more people on earth. Resh Lakish Amar, Miriva Ba'al Olam. Resh Lakish said, no. Fighting came to the world. Strife came to the world once daughters started to be born. Amar Leil Rabbi Yochanan, Resh Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, Resh Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Lididach, Amar Riviya Ba'al Olam, Ibnei Malo Nichbelo Benotav Shel Iyov. He said, if according to you, daughters, when they come to the world, it's a good thing because now more children can be born. So why is it at the end of the story of Eov, after his children died and then he had more children, why doesn't he have double the number of daughters than he did before? If it's such a good thing to have daughters and God was now blessing him. He said, no, he did have more daughters. Not more numbers, but they were more beautiful. I have no idea. He had seven sons and three daughters. Right, he named his daughter Yimima because she was as beautiful as the day. Kitsitsa because she smelled beautiful. It's a weird name, but okay. Karen Afuch, Omer de Rev Shela Shadoma Lakarna, the Keresh, because she was as beautiful as this particular, the horns of this particular animal. Okay. Mechaycho alei b'marav, and Eretz Yisrael they laughed at him. Karna de keres lakute, he said, that's not a beautiful horn. Okay, Elam Rav Chitza kikurmeka de rishka. Rather, it's like garden saffron, which is the best of its kind. Okay, it's like a garden, whatever it is. But then the Gemara, and this is more relevant to our point, the Gemara then says, Rabbi Shimon Birebi it yaldele brata. Rabbi Shimon Birebi had a daughter. Have kacholish daate. And he was upset. Get it? Amar le avuha. His father tried to console him that he had a daughter rather than a son, and said, Rivia bar leolam. And said, it's wonderful to have daughters because they are, right, children come from your daughters. That's great. Amar le bar kapara. Bar kapara said, Tanchumen shelheva nichameich avuch. Your father has consoled you with vanity. Ditanya, because the Brisa says, I efshar leolam b'lo zcharim b'lo nekevot. The world could not exist if there were not men and women. Ella, nevertheless, ashrei lemisha banav zcharim. Lucky is he who has sons. Oy lo lemisha banav nekevot. And woe to he who has daughters. I efshar leolam b'lo basam uvlo bursi. The world needs both tanners and people who make perfume, but ashrei misha umenoto busmi, but lucky is the person who works with good smelling perfume, oy lemisha umenoto bursi, and woe to he who's a tanner which smells terrible. And this in turn supports the following braita, kiditanya, as the braita said, vashem beirachet avram bakol. God blessed Avram with everything. My bakal, what does it mean? Everything? Rabbi Meir Omer Shelo Haita Lobat. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shelo Haita Lobat. This is a quite harsh statement. What does it mean he had everything? Rabbi Yehuda says he had everything. It means he even had a daughter. And Rabbi Meir says, no. It means he had everything. It meant he only had sons and no daughters, and that's perfect. Right? That is the machloket Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Still, I know I'm still stepping into a minefield teaching this topic. What can I do? Achirim Omrim, Bat Haita Lola Avram. Achirim said, no, he had a daughter, Uva Kol Shema, and her name was Bakol. Okay, let's stop there for a minute. So, in this Gemara, what would you guess if you had this Gemara? And now, first, in this Gemara, does the Gemara have a preference for sons over daughters? Yes or no? Well, let's be careful. Does it have a preference for son over daughters? Or I'll push it. Is there only one voice in the Gemara? No. Are there voices in the Gemara who seem to have no preference for boys over girls? Yeah. The voices that say, you're lucky that you had daughters. Daughters are great. And the position in the Gemara said, at what point did Avram have everything? Only when he had sons and daughters. Are there voices in the Gemara who seem to clearly prefer boys over girls? 100%. The father who cries because he had a daughter instead of a boy. That's pretty extreme. And the position of Rabbi Meir that what it means to have everything is to only have sons. That's perfect. But daughter, right? That's a pretty harsh statement. Okay, now if I asked you, is the Gemara making a values claim or a sociological claim? What do you think? Even the people who prefer boys over girls, are they making a fundamental claim that boys are better, or are they making a sociological claim that people prefer boys? So you could say value. Why would you say value? So you could say, well, they bring up Pasuk, right? Bakol. Good. If you wanted to say, no, this Gemara is descriptive of the way some people feel, but is not making a statement, what would you say? What would you point to? If you look at this Gemara and don't believe that it's making a value statement about the preference of men over women, what would you be your proof in the Gemara? You're all stumped. You're all like, feel, no, the Gemara is clearly, clearly anti-women, yeah? Okay. What? So first of all, there's several opinions, and there's another thing, is that the person who says, woe to he who has daughters, what does he say? He gives another few examples. He says, the world needs tanners and people who are perfumers. Does anyone think that it's morally better, morally or theologically better, to be a perfumer over a tanner? Presumably not. Why is the Gemara saying it's better to be a perfumer? Because it's better to have a life where you work with things that smell good and not things that smell bad. Like, most people would just prefer to work in, with perfume than to work in the sewers. Right? They just would. It's not a moral claim. It's not a theological claim. It's just a claim about the way most people are. So even in this Gemara, A, we have different voices about whether to prefer sons over daughters or to treat them equally. And even within the position who prefers sons over daughters, it's not clear that that's a value statement. It could just be saying, look, you know, it's not that boys, it's not that men are better than women, it's just for whatever reason. It's easier to have boys. Boys will go work in the field. Boys don't have to pay their dowry. Boys, whatever it is, right? It's not that it's morally better, it's just like practically easier, right? Okay, right? Which, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, right? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Now, so Ron Khoury, in the article that I mentioned, the reason he says you have to look at the Agadata is because, as we mentioned, in the original precedent, right, about the bracha, it says zachar. It's unclear whether it means son or it means child. But to figure out whether it's more likely that it meant son or child, you got to figure out, well, what's the picture in the time of Chazal. And what you see already in this Gemara is that there are certain voices that seem not to prefer sons over daughters, and a voice like that is more likely to believe that you would say the same bracha and express the same joy when you have a son as a daughter. The voices that push back might plausibly think that, no, no, you really are happier when you have a boy than a girl, but you're still open to saying either it's an objective value statement, in which case, even if you personally would rather have daughters or value your children equally and love them all the same, you're not supposed to express the same joy for a daughter or a son. Or you could say, no, no, it's the Gemara is not making a value statement. The Gemara values everyone equally. It's just saying there are certain things definitely in the ancient world that were easier about raising sons than daughters. So then people, when they had a daughter, they said, I'm very happy to have a daughter, but I know what's coming now. I got to start saving for the dowry. Right? You know, look, lahavdil. Right? This is not as true in modern Orthodox, from my experience in modern Orthodox circles, but it is more true in yeshiva circles that ad hayom, that, you know, in many modern Orthodox circles, as I've seen the two sides in a wedding split the costs of the wedding. But in yeshiva circles, until now, the custom in many places is that the bride's family pays for the majority of the wedding, and the groom's family pays for certain specific things. I forget, there's an acronym for it. I forget what it is. It's like the photographer, the band, I don't know. They have like a whole, there's a whole cheshbon on this, I don't know. It's not my reality, but flops. It stands for flowers. Someone told me that. Flowers, what, liquor, right, thank you. Liquor, orchestra, photographer, and shetel. That's what it is. There we go, flops. Okay, so ad hayom, right? Ad hayom, there are people who will say, look, you know, I'm very happy to have a daughter, but, oy, that means I'm paying the bulk of the wedding, right? I got to start saving now. Okay. So, let's go. How did he print this? How did this? Okay. I guess turn it upside down. So, look at the Ben Yoyada. Again, this is an Agadic source. It's the Ben Yoyada is the Ben Ishchai's Perish on Agadata. But I think it's important. Look four lines down at the bold where it says, Rabbi Shimon Birebi Idyaltale Brata, Havi Kachalish Daite. So he says, how could Rabbi Shimon be upset that he had a daughter? Kasha Geber Chacham Gadol V'chasidka Rabbi Shimon Birebi Echolsha. Really? A big rabbi? The way that a rabbi acts is to be upset when he has a daughter? That's someone who epitomizes Torah values? You've got to be kidding me. So what does he say? V'nirali b'siyata d'shmaya ki ota baray terpeta rechem. When it started, also we name mitzvot b'dina ben b'chor do efshar l'kayma b'zachar acher. And he says, you know what? It's a technicality. He wasn't upset he had a daughter. He just really wanted a firstborn son. Because if your firstborn is a son, and you're not a Kohen or a Levi, then you get to do the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. And if your firstborn is a daughter, you never get to do that mitzvah. That's all. It's a technicality. He was really upset. He missed the mitzvah. Of course he loved all his children the same. Of course he wanted daughters. But he'd been really excited to do the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, and now he lost it forever. So he was sad. But the Gemara is not making a statement. So what does Ben Ish Chai come and do? Ben Ish Chai comes and says, look, you think this Gemara tells you that Chazal valued boys over girls, men over women? You're wrong. It was a technicality. He wanted a son first. Okay. Now again, do you buy it, not buy it? My point is that what do you see that Ben Ish Chai already doing? He takes a Gemara that seems to present voices that prefer sons over daughters, that value men over women, and what does he chime in and say? Never happened. There's no such voice. Right? There might be people who would rather their first child be a boy. Okay. You could have come up with any case, right? I'll give you a modern example. Right? Someone is very, very close to their grandfather. And their grandfather dies a few weeks before they have a child. Right? There are a lot of people who, in that situation, might hope that they have a grandchild because it'll be cathartic for them to name their newborn son after their grandfather. It'll give them solace. Not because they don't love their daughters, not because they don't want daughters, but right now they're grieving for their grandfather, so they want a boy, right? And the same thing could happen in the opposite direction. Right? It's not a fundamental statement, it's just saying, in this particular case, right, he wanted a boy. Okay. And he notes that even in that case, the amazing thing is that even in that case, what happened? His father pushed back and said, even if you were upset only because your son was the firstborn, now you can't do Bidin HaBen, that's not a reason to be sad. Right? You should be happy. You have a daughter. What are you complaining about? That's a beautiful thing. Right? So, the Ben Ish Chai totally changed the conversation. It's not the son prefers sons and his father says, no, be happy with all your children. It's that the father says, I would rather my son be the oldest so I can do Pidyon HaBen, and his father turns back and says, who cares? Who cares whether you get to do Pidyon HaBen or not? It's beautiful to have a daughter, because... And then he goes on to explain why. So what you see already is that this Gemara, at first glance, offers you the possibility that there are different voices in Chazal as to whether to prefer sons to daughters, males to females. Even within that, it's not clear whether the voices that prefer sons prefer them for fundamental reasons or socially dependent reasons. And even within that, you see some of the Mefarshim go out of their way to minimize that gap and deny that it ever happened. So, when you're trying to figure out halachically, how should we take the possibility that the Gemara distinguishes sons and daughters, you have to look at the holistic picture, which is, does halacha, or do Chazal have a overarching value system in which it would make sense to only express joy for sons and not daughters? And what you've seen is that there are multiple voices, and even within interpreting that voice, you have... you have different opinions. Okay, you know what? For now, I'm going to skip the Akedat Yitzchak. Let's skip mostly the primary sources. Okay. The Gemara in Nida, number 9, tells you the following. This one I'll say a little bit outside. The Gemara, following Greek science, believed that in order for a woman to become pregnant, both the male and the female contributed seed. Okay, that was how they understood it. They didn't really understand exactly the way we do with seed and egg. They didn't really get this. And therefore, they had the following scientific claim that if the man emits seed first, so he'll have a daughter, and if the woman emits her seed first, then they'll have a son. That was the science they believed. Don't ask me what it means. I have no idea. But that's what they meant. That's what they thought, okay? And they, therefore, they... Now that alone doesn't tell us anything. But then the Gemara says... that because this is the case, so you could actually control whether they believed you could control whether you had a son or a daughter. Specifically, what? So they believed that because it depended on who emitted their seed first, or, right? Okay. I will have to be explicit. You're never going to understand what I'm saying, right? But basically, Chazal believed that it depended who had an orgasm first. Right? That was how Chazal understood it. Okay? So therefore, they said, if you want to have sons, so you need to make sure that your wife enjoys so that she orgasms before the male. Right? That was Chazal's claim. Now, why is this Gemara important? Because the Gemara at the end, therefore, says... And Amar Rava wrote to Lasad Kolban Avzcharim Yevel V'Yishne. So therefore, you have a solution if you want to make sure that all your children are males, right? Then you can actually create that situation. So now, in this Gemara, what is the Gemara clearly indicating? That there are people who would prefer to have sons and would therefore want practical advice how to make sure that they only have male children, right? So, in that Gemara, it clearly tells you there are people who value sons over daughters. Is it a value statement, socially dependent? What do you think? I think it's totally unclear. My guess, if I had to guess, socially dependent. Because Rav is not saying you should do this, it's saying if you want to. Right? He's saying if someone wants to, this is how you could do it. Right, so he's recognizing that there are people who would want, but he's equally recognizing that there are people who have no such interest. Right? So my guess, he's just saying, that's what you want to do? So here's my practical suggestion. But again, you see a Gemara where there does seem to be a preference, but if I had to guess, it's socially dependent. Okay. The Mishnah in Bava Batra says, Hiniach banim uvanav v'tumtum. It's a second line. I don't need the first line. Second line. Ha'omirim teilid ishti zachar nitol mana, yoldo zachar notel mana. If someone says, if my wife gives birth to a male, and the person who tells me that great news, I'll give him 100 zuz. Nikeva matayim, and if I have a daughter, 200, yoldo nikeva notel at matayim. So then when the person who tells me I had a daughter, he gets 200 zuz. Okay, stop right there. What does this Mishnah imply? Yeah, there are definitely people, at least, who value daughters more. Right? This is clearly not a value statement. It's clearly just saying there's a reality of certain people who would say, if I have a daughter, give them 200. Right? Because I'll be so happy where I would only give 100 for a son. Right? That's the simple understanding of the Mishnah. So if you then go to the Gemara... The Gemara picks up on this implication, says, "Lemeimra debara difa lemi ben." Does this imply that daughters are better than sons? Va'amra b'yochan mishum rabishum b'yochai kol shem eich ben liyarsha. V'adish baruch hu malalav alav evra shenem avar demenach lato levito v'ein avar ala evra. He said, "Really?" But Rabishum b'yochai said, "If you only have daughters and you don't have a son to inherit you, that shows that God is angry at you." So does that imply that it's better to have boys than girls? So the Gemara says, no. Hahu linyan Yerusha ben Adif. Linyan Harvacha bito Adifa le. He says, look, when it comes to inheritance, so sure, on a biblical level, boys inherit and girls don't, unless there are no sons. So from the vantage point of inheritance,
sons are preferred. But when it comes to harvacha, which is basically, you know, who do you enjoy having around the house more? People enjoy having their daughters around more, right? So what does the Gemara say? This Gemara, what do you think? The Gemara is telling you, probably, that whatever preference there is socially constructed. They're saying, look, there are certain things that are that having sons are that people enjoy more. There are benefits of having sons. There are certain things that people benefit with having daughters. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, Bimivakeret Askinan, we're talking about a firstborn, because that daughters are good to have first, either because she helps raise the younger children, right? An older sister is better than an older brother. I see some people nodding. Okay. Or because there's no ayin hara. Okay. And Amar Rav Chisda Lididi Bintan Adifan Lebi Mibanai. And Rav Chisda said, me personally, I like my daughters a lot more than my sons. Right? That's Rav Chisda. V'iba Isema, the Gemara says, alternatively, Hamani Rav Yehudi, Rav Yehudi and Rav Yehudi, the Bakol. And then the Gemara goes back to the Bakol issue. And then he says, maybe it's not that. No, it's Elam Rav Yehudi, Danya, Mitzvah, Lazun, and Abano, V'kamol Chor, Labanim, Da'aski, Be'al, right? Rav Yehudi, Mitzvah, Lazun, and Abano, V'kamol Chor, Labano, De'lo, Zon. That there's a machloket whether it's more important to support your sons because they'll learn Torah, or your daughters because it's harder for them to be supported by themselves, and it's dependent on that. In this Gemara, it's clear that is there a preference to sons or daughters? Majority voice, no. And whatever to whatever extent there is, it's socially constructed, and there are benefits to sons, benefits to daughters. They're just different. Some people prefer one, some people prefer the other, and then the Gemara goes out of its way to tell you that there are certain people, like Rav Chisda, who just said, yeah, on balance, I like my daughters more. I appreciate having daughters more than sons. Now, you remember before, in the Gemara, the early Gemara in Bava Batra, it sounded like it was preferring sons, and the Ben Yoyada came and pushed back? So here you have the opposite phenomenon, is you have a Gemara that clearly shows at least one person who had a preference for girls over boys. So turn to the opposite, turn to number 13. The Rashbam says, on Bito, sorry, Amar Rav Chisda, two lines from the bottom of the Rashban, Idem of Rav Chisda of Akeret, etc. Vinira Be'enai, the Shlonit Kaimelo Bonim, Kim Bano, the Kach Metave, Hayala Banot. He said maybe his daughters survived better than his sons, but he said fundamentally, Lo Nishtatively Yafa Daito Shur Rav Chisda. He said, I gotta be honest, I don't understand Rav Chisda. Right? That's his thing, is I can't imagine why someone would say that they want daughters more than sons. That's what he says in his Parish on the Gemara. So, in terms of precedent, right, we have the Ben Yehoyada who took a Gemara where there was clear preference for boys over girls and pushed back and said, it's an illusion. It never happened. Right? And now you have a Gemara that clearly presents certain voices that prefer girls over boys. And what does the Rashbam do? Never happened. Right? So on the level of precedent, you see, in the Gemara, you have certain voices that seem to refer boys over girls, but it's not clear whether it's an objective or subjective statement. You have certain voices that even prefer girls. It's not clear if it's subjective or not. And you have voices in the Rishonim who say, I can't, or Achronim who say either, I can't imagine why anyone would actually prefer sons over daughters, all children are equal, and therefore I have to reinterpret the Gemara to say that they're equal. That's the Ben Yoyada. And then you have people like the Rashbam who say, I can't fathom why anyone would prefer daughters over sons. I'm so convinced that there's a preference for boys over girls. Right? So you see that that argument continues to play out. Tosfot says, practically, he really likes his daughters because he really liked his sons-in-law, which is a very weird way of preferring daughters. I love my daughters because my sons-in-law are awesome. They're talmidei chachamim. And my son's not so much. So, okay, that's a really bizarre way. But that's Tosfos. Yeah, I didn't say it. You would like it. I'm not. No. Anyways. And again, I won't go through everything, but you'll see that
the Ben Yoyada again will weigh in. And you can keep going, you'll see. Gemara in Sanhedrin, I'm going to run a little bit here. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that seems to say that a daughter is better, right? A daughter is for her father, no, sorry, is worse, is a false treasure. But why? Not because daughters are worse, because he won't sleep at night, right? He won't sleep at night. Why? He's scared, right? And he's, now this is something that even in modern day, certain people resonate with, right? Certain people are more worried when their son, when their daughters are out late at night by themselves, when their sons are. They just are, right? It's not because they love their sons, you know, less or more. It's because they're worried. They're worried that their daughters are more vulnerable, and therefore, for sometimes, you know, having daughters brings with it certain stresses. That's all, right? That's all. So in this Gemara, the first half of the Gemara, now he says why? Because when she's young, he's worried that she'll be seduced. When she's young. When she's older, he's worried that she'll be involved in immoral activity. When she's older, he has to worry about shiduchim, right? There's just stresses that come with daughters. It's not like an objective statement. He's just worried, right? So again, you have a Gemara, and here the Gemara ends with the Ashrei Misha Banav Zecharim, Oy Lo LeMisha Banav Nekeva. Woe is to he who has daughters, and lucky is one who has sons. In this Gemara, it's pretty clear. There's a preference for sons, but is it for a fundamental reason? No, it's just describing that in time of the Gemara, having daughters came with a whole bunch of extra fears, right? That they might get raped, that they might not, that it might be more of a headache with shiduchim, right? Ad hayom, this is true, right? Mothers are much more stressed about their daughters finding a shidduch than their sons, right? Okay? They are. For worse, but this is the reality, okay? They are. They're worried about it. They just are. Right? And this has been true since the time of the Gemara. And Ben Sira deals with this. Now you can go through a lot of different sources. The Gemara in Brachot says that Chana, long story short, but basically the Gemara says that if someone is accused of being a Sota and it turns out that she's not, so if she never had children, she'll be blessed with children. If she was blessed with sons, she'll end up with daughters, then she'll have sons. So there the Gemara does seem to imply a preference for sons over daughters. Not totally clear whether it's a value statement or a fundamental statement. There it really might be more of a fundamental one. It's not clear. There and other places to look in the Agadita is the Mishnah in Brachot in 21 talks about tefillot that are worthless. So someone who, when his wife is already pregnant, says, "I hope I have a son," that's considered a worthless prayer. But again, evidence that there were people who clearly preferred sons. Again, objective, subjective, not clear, just that there were people who preferred sons. Other Gemara, I'll skip some of these. So look at the Yerushalmi on the person who promised money to the person who told him he had sons or daughters. So the Yerushalmi says, "Omer mafsirenim yalda ishti zachar." The person who tells me that I had a boy, yitol matayim, will take 200. Yalda zachar no tol matayim. So if he has a son, he has 200. And nekeva mana yalda nekeva no tol mana. If he says, if I have a daughter, 100, then 100. Zachar nekeva ein lo ela mana. But if he has a boy and a girl, he has twins. So how much does he give the person who told him? Less. Why? Abari mana bitlat sarat nikeva simchat zakar. Because the distress of having a daughter diminished the joy he had at having a son. Now that interpretation of the Yerushalmi is pretty strong on the not good to have daughter side of the equation. Again, is it because that's how people feel, or is it objective? We don't know, right? But it does seem to have a pretty weighted preference. And the Ramban quotes it. Fine.
I don't really have time to get through everything here. So let me... Yeah, let me summarize where we are. Again, there are several other gatatot you can look at. But let me summarize where we are. Okay? So, we started with the Gemara. The Gemara says if you have a son, you should make atova meitev. It doesn't say anything about daughters. So we noted on the level of first glance at primary sources, you could either say it means son because it says zachar, or you could say it means daughter for one of two reasons. Either it just means child, or maybe it meant son, but that was just because most people then preferred sons. It's not making a value statement. In order to figure out whether the Gemara is actually preferring sons over daughters, and if it's preferring sons, is it a fundamental statement, we took a bit of a tour through the Agadata to figure out whether Halacha has something to say. And we saw several voices who preferred sons, a few voices, the lesser, who preferred daughters. In most of the cases, you could read it as an objective statement, but there's good reason to believe that it's just a socially constructed statement. And within that, there were people who preferred daughters, which leads in the direction of thinking that it might be more equal. So now, taking that before we go to next week and saying, okay, well now, with that as background, fast forward to the 21st century, what would you do? Right? What directions can a posek take? So, you can go in the direction of the Mishnah Berurah and say, it means son. And even if you want a daughter, it means son. In order to do that, what do you have to assume? That the Gemara really meant son. And that, A, it's son, and B, it's an objective statement. If you want to say that you could say the bracha even for daughters, what do you need to do? Either claim that the Gemara always meant child, or B, that maybe the Gemara really did mean son, but not for a formal objective reason, but because it's a bracha on personal joy, and in the time of the Gemara, for whatever reason, for better or for worse, this was just the reality, many people preferred sons over daughters because it was harder to have daughters because of dowries and whatever. But nowadays, if people emotionally feel equally happy to have a daughter, then you'd make the bracha. But that forces... Now, why is this a modern issue? Because what you'll see when we look at the modern treatment of it is that what essentially does this become? When poskim weigh in on this, part of it is how do they weigh their interpretation of precedent, their interpretation of the original sources, but part of it, what is it? How do you integrate the changed reality of people's emotional response to having daughters, and B, the belief that it's wrong to have a different emotional response when you have sons versus daughters? Right? How do you integrate that? Does that affect the way you think about reading these sources and whether you look for the sources that encourage you to see fundamental distinctions between men and women, or encourage you to read the sources in ways that diminish those, argue that those voices are at best socially constructed, and therefore men and women are equal, and halacha should reflect that? Right? And in a certain way, the modern psak, it's not just that people are weighing custom and precedent and the original and their way of reading the original sources, but they're actually faced with how do I deal with the reality that even if socially people several hundred years ago or even 100 years ago preferred men, nowadays, both because much of the work that was accomplished by men that wasn't usually accomplished by women, that's not the reality. Right? And B, the advent of feminism, which brings to the fore the value statement that we shouldn't be highlighting preference of males over females. And the fact that on an emotional level, for many people, whatever you think of feminism, the reality is that the world is one in which many people, because we spend so much time stressing equality, indeed feel equal joy, sons over daughters. How does all those realities integrate into capturing that in halachic language? Meaning, can you now say the bracha of Atova Amitiv that might have only been for sons and daughters. So it ends up being a reflection on how do I integrate the reality of social change, the reality of people's changed emotions, the value statements that are inherent in those feelings, and how do I allow that to be reflected in halacha. So even though it's a small little halacha, it ends up being a meta reflection on how do I relate to the corpus of halacha? How do I relate to what seems to be preferences that I don't share and don't want to share? Do I look at these sources and see fundamental distinctions, or do I prefer distinctions that are socially constructed and therefore work to live in a world where they are diminished, or at least reflect on a world in which the differences are diminished and relate to that? Right? So it Mimela becomes a pretty good case study of looking at how people look and understand social change, especially in this case, social change that has at least in part been motivated by the advent of feminism, the value change that has been brought in the world. Okay? So next week we'll actually look at the modern poskim, but at this point you should be at the point of thinking of the types of questions they need to ask and why this small little bracha question in many ways becomes a test case for testing modern sensibilities in halacha, especially when it's such an emotionally charged one, right? Because that's what it is, right? You're telling parents you should or should not express joy in certain ways, right? That's a very emotionally charged one, and therefore emotions and people's personal opinions, which are very affected by modern values and the way they integrate into our personal, right, worldview, become very important. And therefore it right, even though it's a small issue, because of how much the whole halacha is wrapped up in emotions, it highlights how important worldview and changing worldviews might actually be to the corpus of halacha itself. Okay, so next week, with those reflections in mind, let that digest that for a week, and in a week, we'll see how modern posts can actually take this, and not surprisingly, you, no matter who you are, you will see positions that offend you. Okay, I promise you that. But you will see positions across the board. You will see positions who are very rejectionist and are all too happy to say, hey, the modern value that men and women are equal is just wrong, so if you see something that looks like men are better than women, embrace it, run with it, and don't think twice. And then people of the opposite extreme who say, what are you talking about? Obviously, the modern value of equality is right. So the voices in Chazal that see this as at best a social construction are right, and nowadays let's work to make it that parents would want to say the bracha the same for sons and daughters. Like, you'll see both ends of that spectrum, but now you see where they're coming from, because you see the ambiguity that exists in the text and how much the way you actually approach the text depends so much on how much you're willing to integrate the modern sensibilities into your discourse of halacha. Okay? And as I said, I normally get uncomfortable speaking about quote-unquote women's issues. Yes, I find that funny too. In this particular case, I find it less problematic simply because for me, this isn't, right, this was my question as a father, right? I will give away the end, right, which is despite the machloket, I paskind lemaisa that both my wife and I said atovam etiv, right? If someone wants to stone me, that's fine. That is my personal halachic position, was that that was the right position, right? That is the proper interpretation of the halacha. I strongly feel that way. We'll see that not everyone agrees with that, but I was willing to go out on a limb and actually paskin that way because I think it's right. But we'll explore that more next week. Okay, good.